Imagine there's no heaven, no hell, no religion sang in this church. You cannot do that in any other church. That's why I love MCC, despite the challenges that we face as a denomination or as a local church. So good morning, church. Who is familiar with the story of Ruth and Naomi? Are you familiar? Do you fully know the story of this? The book of Ruth is one of the two books in the 66 books of the Bible that are named after women. Only two. One is Ruth, and the other is Esther. And according to Jewish scholars and even Christian scholars, the book of Ruth is one of those so elegantly written in Hebrew. There is a very beautiful structure to the book of Ruth. And we can consider the book of Ruth, the story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, as a very compelling story. That's why it is in the Bible. That's why the Jewish people decided to include it in their canon, into the Hebrew Testament. What is your compelling story? What is a compelling movie that you love, that made you cry or made you laugh? For me, some American movies would be The Green Mile and Forrest Gump by Tom Hanks. Or what else? Call Me Sam by Sean Penn. And of course, the one that made me depressed for 3 days, I was young then, was Brokeback Mountain, being a young gay boy in the Philippines. So it has somewhat of that effect, this book, the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. It is a compelling story that we have for about 3,000 years now, give and take. And so let's review the story a little bit. The story is just 4 chapters, and it will not take you more than 30-45 minutes to read it, if you read it page to page, maybe even less than that if you are a speed reader. And the story goes that a family, the family of Naomi and Elimelech, and their two sons went to the land of Moab when they still had resources, and they left Bethlehem, meaning that name means house of bread. And they, in the time of famine, they went to the land of Moab to escape the famine while they still had resources. So they were not poor when they left, because we know in the confession of Naomi, she said that, "I went away full." Right? So they had resources and left for Moab. And in Moab, the father, the husband died for whatever reason. And after he died, the two sons married two Moabite women, we know as Orpha and Ruth, after 10 years of being married and not having children. Now, when these fathers and the sons died, they did not leave any will. And according to the law at that time, the women can only have inheritance if there was a will left behind by the men. And so they were in a terrible economic situation. And so Naomi decided to go back to her people. There is nothing left for her in Moab. And she told her daughters-in-law to go back to their people to worship their gods. And we know that Orpha went back while Ruth declared this beautiful vow, and the most beautiful vow in Christian Jewish tradition. It might be the basis of our vows today. And so they went back to Bethlehem, and the people were disturbed by their coming back. And they were disturbed, I'll talk about that a little later. So they were disturbed, and Naomi and Ruth survived by Ruth picking up the fallen produce of the farm. And she particularly picked up the leftover produce from the land of Boaz, from the farm of Boaz, which is a kinsman or relative of the family of Naomi. And so they survived through that. And when Ruth, or when Naomi knew that it was Boaz, she had a good idea to redeem back the inheritance of her family. And that is for Ruth to seduce Boaz and get her to marry her and redeem the land, the inheritance of Elimelech. And so I want to focus a little bit on the part of our story where when they returned, the town was disturbed. The town was disturbed. According to Noam Zion, a Jewish scholar, they were not welcome in Bethlehem when they came back. Number one, because he comments that perhaps the neighbors, the townsfolk, felt betrayed and abandoned when they left with their resources while there was trouble, there was famine in the land of Israel. Second was because Naomi returned with a Moabite, a woman from a people who is both an enemy and who is considered unclean. Now, they were the story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz was during the time when the people of Israel was settling down in the land of Canaan and all the other peoples were enemy of Israel and Israel to them. So there was this Moabite woman. It's not just that you returned. You brought with you an enemy and an unclean. And she might bring a curse or the famine back into our land. And so, having that awkward situation, Naomi publicly confessed by changing her name. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Naomi's name in Hebrew is pleasant. The meaning of the word Naomi, the name Naomi, is pleasant. So, don't call me Naomi anymore because my life has been a life of bitterness. And God has dealt harshly with me. She interprets her life and what happened to her, the decisions of her family, as a punishment from God. She interprets it in that way. So call me Mara. Mara, which means bitter. I am now an embodiment of bitterness. And that is not just Jewish. In Buddhist teachings, the word Mara is actually a demon of illusion. So she made that public confession. She changed her name. She went back to her people, knowing too well the guilt and shame that she interprets of her life, going away full, but returning in shame and in guilt, changing her name. And does this ring a parallel parable in the New Testament? A son coming back, living full. So she changed her name. Now, the good thing about stories, why many stories are compelling, is because we identify with the characters. Whichever we identify with. We identify with who they are and what they have been through. We identify our life, our characteristics, our qualities, similar to some of the characters of stories and movies. And so in the story of Ruth and Naomi, many of us, perhaps all of us at one time in our life, and maybe even in the future, we'll experience these moments, these feelings, this situation, circumstances where we feel as if God has dealt harshly with us. Moments of pain, loss, and grief. Moments where we feel that some of our decisions were, oh, shucks. I did a wrong decision. I did a wrong mistake. I made a mistake. That's why I'm in this situation. We can have those. We have those experiences. And we can identify with Naomi, who is now Mara, a life of bitterness. And for many folks, especially LGBT or transgender folks, there is that familiarity with changing names because my life story, my previous name no longer or has never been the embodiment of who I am. But despite the struggles of Naomi, despite the tragedy of her life, losing husband and sons without grandchildren, being economically vulnerable, returning to Bethlehem with a Moabite, she did not stay where she is. She did not simply give up. She took one step at a time. She decided to go back to her town despite and in spite of. She took courage to go back to her people. And so the first lesson I want to impart today with regards to the story of Ruth and Naomi is that if we want to change our life situation and if we want to name ourselves in any manner or way, we need to take action. Even if it is just one simple step at a time. We need to take action with courage and with wisdom, like Naomi. When she courageously went back, when with wisdom, although I cannot fully agree, but with wisdom, she told Ruth to, here's our plan to seduce Boaz. We need to take the step, no matter our life situations. And in my own life and the life of my church back home, certainly for the past 3 years, has been a Ruth and Naomi experience. There was a time in 2017, February, when I came to our chapel, our old chapel, just about 25 square foot or 30 square foot, and it was already 4 p.m., the time of our worship, and the pastor is the only one there. And they came in started to come in by 4:30. And I told them, we will not have worship today. Let's talk. Now that gets the people scared. When the pastor suddenly... And so that I interpret that as one of my Naomi moments where I told them, let's close this church. You can go back to your churches, to your what you consider before as your spiritual homes. Let's close this. For the past year or so, we have been struggling to maintain ourselves, this church, to do the ministry that we do, but we are now left with just less than 10 people, and that you have decided that you come to church every so week at 4:30. So let's close this. Go back to your homes. I might find a new home with either the United Church or the Philippine Independent Church or perhaps the Episcopal Church in the Philippines. But then, shaken as they are, they said, we'll continue. No, we will not close down. We will continue. We will journey on as a church. And so we left our chapel. We gave that up. And we temporarily worship in the National Council of Churches in the Philippines in one of their rooms. And for 1 year, that was really a challenge for us. But we took the step, despite the challenges, despite what we perceive to be, okay, God, maybe you're closing us down, or maybe you never really called us anyway. Maybe this ministry is over. But we decided, we will take one step, one small step at a time, even with our challenges, even with our struggles to continue on. If we want to write the next page of our story, no matter the circumstances are, we needed to take one step at a time, with courage, with wisdom, like Naomi. The second lesson is this. Oh, before the second lesson. So we had those struggles, and we, in that 1 year of transition, we were taking steps to find a new place, a new space, and we are now in a new space. But in between that times of struggle and taking those steps, we did a video for people to help us.
Marami pa ding LGBT members of the LGBT community who are still being oppressed at nakakaranas ng inequality at ng injustice.
Nowadays, we still need to have a church that is open to all people, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression.
I think it's important that the people in the LGBT plus community in the Philippines know that God loves them and that they can find a community, that they can be in community with other people of faith without having to deny who they are.
MCC is a family.
Napaka-importante ng MCC. Binuksan niya yung isip ko sa mga maraming bagay. Katulad ng makibagay sa mga oppressed na tao, makialam sa social justice, makialam sa bayan, makialam sa mga issue na kailangang bigyan ng pansin.
Coming to meet the community, attending worship for the first time and seeing that there were other people like me, that there was a church, a community, where you could come and worship without being discriminated against.
It reaches out to people who are struggling between their faith and sexuality.
I was able to reconcile my sexuality with my Christian spirituality and faith.
So that video was recorded when we were in the National Council of Churches about September of last year. And one of the persons there, the guy in black, the young guy in black, she's actually trans but does not express herself. She actually passed away in February. She's an out and proud HIV, living with HIV at the time and doing our HIV ministry, and then she passed away in February of this year. And so we had tragedy. We had struggles and challenges as a church. We, at some point, we are Naomi. We are Mara. But we are also Ruth with each other. And so the second lesson for today is that despite the challenges that you have in your individual lives or as a church, solutions and steps to our challenges and problems and tragedies is not just by yours alone. It is always with others. There are people who walk with us in our tragedies and struggles and pains. It was Ruth who on a daily basis went to the farm in the heat of the sun to pick up leftovers for them to survive. It was Ruth who sacrificed herself for Boaz. We didn't know. It didn't say if Boaz loved Ruth or Ruth loved Boaz. But she gave herself to him so that she and Naomi may have redemption. And that is without assurance. They didn't know if after having sexual intercourse with Boaz, if Boaz will do what they were expecting. And so it was Ruth, the companion. The name Ruth in Hebrew means friend, companion. And so in the many struggles of our life, before or even in the future, who are the roots in your life? Who will walk with you? Who will be there with and for you in your challenges, in your pains, in your grief, in your tragedies? Who are those? Your survival, your redemption is and will never be just because of your own action. It will always be with the people who have been there for you. And in the story of Ruth and Naomi, God was never mentioned to have ever intervened. He never spoke. But we know that despite God being absent in the entire story, we know that God was at work in the story, in the life, in the struggles of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Because God is revealed through the characteristics, through the qualities of the people who embodied, who engendered the qualities of God, the quality of commitment, loyalty, love, sacrifice, and redemption. But as with Scripture and with the Spirit, the Scripture and the Spirit does not only speak to us as individuals. The challenge to us of Scripture and Spirit is to also look beyond ourselves. Who are the Maras, the Naomis and Ruths of this world, of our life and of our society that are picking up leftovers to survive? My first sermon in this church was about a family and a reality in the Philippines where people survive by picking up leftover food. Who are the Naomis surviving on leftovers in our society and in our lives? Do we know them? Do we see them? Do we hear them? And are we willing to embody and gender the qualities of God so that we may co-write their story, change their story, write the next chapter of their story with hope, inasmuch as others co-wrote our stories with hope? Definitely, my story have been written with you and you with me. And I hope as individuals and as a church together, Resurrection MCC, you will be willing to embody God's qualities and God's covenant for others. The story of Ruth started and opened with famine and death. It ends with birth and rejoicing, redemption and the naming of names. I pray that like the queer family of Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi, may you give birth to redemption and rejoicing to so many others, to so many others in this church and beyond. May you be the embodiment giving birth to such hope in Houston and so many places in the world. In the name of the great, 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 great grandson of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.